Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast with Susie and Jason.
That's right. This episode is a super one.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm just using, you know, two words to sum up the content of today's show in an enigmatic way.
Super one.
Yeah.
It's a bit pointless though, isn't it, really?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, because it's also pointless, Susie, isn't it? Remember the Amstrad emailer?
Yeah.
That clunky landline phone launched in the year 2000. Its only USP was that you could send emails on it, except you kind of, well, you kind of hardly could. And also they'd cost you an arm and a leg. Unsurprisingly, it didn't catch on.
Go on then, other useless gadgets while we're on it.
Nokia N-Gage, Susie. Do you remember that? Nokia's attempt to launch their own portable console. It wasn't a good phone, it wasn't a good console.
It's a terrible compromise. Yeah, so talking about combining phones with other things, do you remember the Sony Vaio Mouse Talk?
What? No.
No. Right. So it was in the early days of Skype and VoIP.
Oh, VoIP, voice over IP.
Yeah, voice over IP. And it's basically a computer mouse that was also a flip phone.
No.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
So you're working on your PC, right? A Skype call comes in. So you pick up your mouse, as you do.
No.
Flip it open.
No.
And hey, presto, you've got a phone, although a wired phone as well.
Okay, so we're still talking.
So the mouse's tail.
I don't think anything can beat that. But are we playing kind of?
Yeah, what's worse?
Bad gadget.
Yeah,
tag.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
I'm going to say.
Never mind what was.
I'm going to say Virtual Boy by Nintendo, only because, which by the way was most people's first ever experience of virtual reality, other than in an arcade. Mm-hmm. All right. So had lots going for it. Looked really, really cool in red. Had some great games for it, like Mario Tennis, all the rest of it, except. You didn't wear it like a VR helmet. It was on a stand, so you had to use VR like that. You had to sit there like that and look into it. And actually, as most rudimentary VR experiences of the time were, it was really painful on the eyes after, you know, half an hour or so.
I'm going to get to another one in a minute.
Yeah.
But do you remember we once tested some flip-flops, some shoes that had a little compartment where you could put a little drink, as if you take off your flip-flop and drink out of your shoe? I mean, now it's a shoey that all racers do when they win, they get a top. But I always imagine, like, what if you walked in some dog poo or something and then you fancied a drink? And I could never get over that.
What horror. And just cheesy feet.
Oh,
just
cheesy feet. Anyway, one that you might recoil at now.
Yeah.
Ready for it?
Yeah, go on then, what?
Sinclair Symphony.
Oh, stop it. Get on with the show.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not accepting that.
Go on. I can see a little treat under our desk. What have you brought in for us?
I didn't know if you'd noticed. I've stashed a one wheel under the desk. Shall I pick it up?
Yeah, just explain. Well, I can explain what it looks like. It's a wheel in the middle of a skateboard, effectively.
Yeah, it's like a go-kart wheel, isn't it? And there are new models of this. The latest one is the GTS, which is the super sporty one. This is the Pint X, which is one of their current models. Forgive this particular one, all scratched up, because this is my daily ride.
You use it a lot,
don't you? I've used it a lot. So Otis was the first one on the Gadget Show to review it, not me.
Yep.
But shortly after that, they really liked the Gadget Show, these guys in California. They came over and they exhibited at Gadget Show Live. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And I was walking around the show floor. I thought, oh, I remember Otis doing that. Had a spin on it, and I've been in love ever since. I've had a one wheel for the last 8 years, different ones. They currently do four. To my knowledge, I think they've got four models on their website. So they've got the GT, which is a sporty one. The GTS, which is their most recent one. That goes up to 25 miles an hour. It's
wow.
A proper piece of kit. The Pint and the Pint X. So this one, you can bomb along at anything up to, I think, 18 miles per hour, I think it is. And trust me, I'm a bit of a speed demon. I wouldn't really want to go 18 miles an hour.
That's
on this.
Quick on one wheel as well. So is it easy to get used to it?
And you go back 20 miles, 18 miles on it. Yeah, it is. If people want to have a go on it, and often they do, where I live in Cornwall, I'll make sure there's a park in the centre of town. Mm. I'll go there. Or on the beach. I ride it on the beach a lot, you know.
Do you?
I do. And I sort of lap at the very edge of the water, bomb around when the tide's gone out. I do it often. It's really, really, really great because one of the big beaches, Fistral Beach, for example, is quite long, so I can get a good old head of steam.
Can you get round here?
Do you want me to give it a go?
Yeah, let's have a look at you.
Okay.
Stand by, crew.
Let's see if I can get through here. I'm going to get through a big gap there. Look, you ready?
It's not a very big gap. Oh.
There we go. So it's very manoeuvrable, as you can see. I have to watch my head, Suze.
Yeah.
So, yeah, What I use this for is going over all terrain, because I've had various electric skateboards in my time. And the thing with an electric skateboard is, in general terms, you can get off-road models, but generally you're on the road or you're on a cycle path with an electric skateboard. With a one wheel, you can go anywhere. You can go through the woods, you can go on, you know, dirt pathways. As I've said, you can go on beaches, you can also go on the road, you can go through towns on it. You have to be a little bit careful, because for some reason, cars don't like people on one wheels. They're never very polite to me. But as you can see, it's incredibly maneuverable. I can do a simple 360 in a very tight space, and I can come back, hopefully, and I won't smash into anything as I come through here. Let's have a go.
Nice work.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, et voilà.
Very nimble, isn't it?
It is. I haven't had this one too long, and you know what? I've already done over 700 kilometres on it.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, seriously, yeah. 700 kilometres, because you get an app with this, which you can connect to it. I'll show you if you like. You connect via Bluetooth. It tells you, you can have the app on in real time, and it'll tell you exactly, there we go, it's got 65% power. Mm. It tells me that I've done 731 kilometres. I've got 12 kilometres range left.
But I suppose the beauty of this is it's so rugged. Like you say, you can go on the beach and, you know, you'd struggle with other pieces of transport, wouldn't you?
Yeah, certainly a standard electric skateboard, no way. Mm. An electric skateboard built for off-road and grass and things like that, you could probably do on the beach, but it wouldn't be necessarily 100% reliable. This bad boy, because of the large surface area, it just floats on the sand. But most people use it for going down, you know, green laning through forests and woods. That's where it lives, I think, best. And you can go over roots and you can do little jumps. You're not going to do loads of freestyle tricks. I mean, people do. They've also got a race series, you know. Over in the States, they've got a mini race series. But I'm a big advocate of these. You know, if you ride any form of electric personal transport, other than usually a bike, you're going to face resistance from people. It's something, I don't know if it's an English thing or if you find the same thing if you ride these things in America. People often have a bit of an issue with you. So it's best not to go on pathways. It's best not to go too quickly. Mm. Stick to cycle lanes. Be a bit sensible. Wear a helmet. But I'm an advocate of this. I use it most days. I'll go down to the cafe on it, get a coffee before I do the school run in the morning. Love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the Pint X from One Wheel.
Now, if you like your gadget reviews, you're probably going to know our next guest.
Hell yeah.
He's like the king of YouTube.
Absolutely.
2 million tech subscribers. YouTube.
What do you do with that amount of followers? What do you do with that? I mean, when you say, hey guys, I've got a question for you, then like 300,000 replies come in.
Amazing. One of the UK's biggest content creators.
Yeah, hell
ladies
yeah.
And gentlemen.
Big it up for.
Yeah. Super Saf!
How you doing, dude?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're looking please fresh.
Listen, so Saf, cool. Can we... Thank you, first of all, so much for coming on our little podcast. I do feel very
little to you. Cottage industry creation.
No, thank you for having me.
You used to watch The Gadget Show when you were younger.
I used to, yeah. Yeah, I remember you guys doing all these crazy things. I remember Otis as well alongside. It was some fun times.
Yeah. So you obviously now just said you've got 2 million subscribers, which is, you know, just incredible. And I've watched a lot of your reviews. I mean, you must have a degree in taking things out of boxes as well. Yeah, unboxing.
Well, when I was on Channel 5 News a few years ago, they had the title Unboxer.
How interesting.
So people were like, we know what a boxer is. What is an unboxer?
That's great. I love
so
that.
So that's me.
But that's so mainstream TV, isn't it? In terms of kind of understanding what you do. But actually, to be fair, I like that. I think that's quite cool.
It's another world though, isn't it? And it's a massive world. Just tell us a little bit how you got started, how you got into it in the first place.
Sure, yeah. So I've been into tech from a very young age and became tech support for the family, shall we say. So anybody
definitely
has any problem with any tech or wants to buy any new tech, they'll be like, you know, pick up the phone, Saf.
Better call Saf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call Saf. Which smartphone shall I buy? Which laptop shall I buy? Which TV? I'm sure you guys have the same, right? So for me, it was just a case of, all right, I know lots about tech. I like making videos because I just used to like making home videos, me and my brothers, some very embarrassing videos, which we'll hopefully never see the internet.
Oh, ours went on the television. I mean, you know, we put it all out there.
So those are still under, well, hopefully they'll never leak.
Embargo.
Yes, but yeah, so then I was just like, let me make some videos about tech, which I really enjoy and I'm really passionate about. And that's really how it started, 12 and a bit years ago. So it's been a while.
So you did really kind of start from your bedroom, editing yourself on a laptop and just kind of working out what worked and what didn't work.
What first camera did you shoot yourself on?
So it was actually the Canon 5D Mark II.
Oh, so quite a good bit of kit.
Remember that on the Gadget Show?
Yeah, it's just such an amazing camera. So I actually used to do a bit of like photography and video, some wedding photography and video as well.
Okay.
So when I started posting photos and videos on social media, like I had all my friends asking me like, oh, what camera are you using? Which one shall I buy? And that's kind of really where the channel started, is because I had so many people asking me questions and I couldn't reply to all of them. So I was like, okay, let me make a video about which camera is better. Yeah. And then at the time it was Nikon versus Canon.
Of course.
So that was like one of my first videos was Nikon versus Canon. Which one should you go for? So that's kind of how it really started.
You're a Sony man now.
I am pretty much exclusively a Sony man, which is, quite a change.
So we get asked a lot now, you know, if we're going to start making videos, what kind of kit should we use? So just tell us what you're using now then.
I'm fascinated to know the answer to this too.
So if you're starting, let me just put a disclaimer. You have an amazing camera in your pocket. Anybody who's got a new iPhone or a Samsung or any one of the newer devices, they shoot really good quality video. So if you're starting, my advice would be just start with what you have, right?
And edit it on your phone as well?
Exactly. And it's just the barrier to entry is so easy now. You don't have to have all of the gear. Now, if you do want to step up, then, you know, there's lots of options available for you. Personally, right now, my setup is pretty simple still, I would say. I generally use the Sony A7C, which I've got with me here. I also have the Sony A7 S3,
That's the camera I sport, my friend.
That's the one.
That is the bad boy. So the fact that I tell people about that camera, if they ask, if they're interested in it, is, you know, the movie The Creator, recent movie, science fiction movie, full proper Hollywood budget, major AAA title, made by a UK director, whole thing shot on, obviously not one, but several FX3s, which are the kind of cinematic version of the camera you just mentioned, the A7S III. So a prosumer or consumer level camera, not inexpensive. I mean, you know, $3,500 is not whatever it is, something like that, is it?
Yeah, around about there. So about $3,000-$3,500.
Yeah, so I'm not pretending that it's not a serious investment, but come on, shooting a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that an incredible thing? And that wasn't something, Susie, when we started out, that existed. There was a big gap, wasn't there, between professional broadcasting and those people starting to do the first rudimentary experiments in content creation.
Yeah, and I think the Red camera made a big difference.
You're so right.
Do you remember when we... Yeah, so Saf's nodding here. We did a challenge, didn't we, to record a pop music video.
Yes!
And I had Fight Star. It was Charlie from Busted and his band, who've actually come back again. And I did a video of them on the Red camera. And my goodness me, it was real game changer. I remember at the time it was so beautiful, and you went and shot your video on consumer tech. It was considered very much, you know,
chalky
cheese. You're on a phone. I can't remember now.
You know what? I can't quite remember. Right. I think it was some form of camcorder. I don't quite remember. All I know is the video that you shot was exceptional.
It was beautiful images. And I think the point I'm making is there are game changer moments, aren't there, tech? And, you know, we've got one in front of us really right here, haven't we?
I think we thought that Red's venture into smartphones was going to be a game changer, but that wasn't the case, was it?
The hydrogen one, infamous hydrogen one, that was an interesting device to cover for sure. But yeah, I mean, cameras, I mean, they've just gotten so good. Like my Sony A7 S3, like I'll go to like tech shows and then I'll have that with me. Stick on 4K 120fps and that's it.
Boom,
you're
baby.
Good to go. And all it's done. Just so like compact and just so easy. And everything, like you're saying, like even the Red cameras, they're amazing, but they're still very pricey. They still can be, once you've got all the attachments on, they can be
there's
quite big.
There's been a catch-up, hasn't there?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I should just say that if you know, this notion of shooting a Hollywood film on a £3,500 camera, you're probably, they're probably spending $80,000 on the lens. But just to put it in context.
It's going into another arena is the point here, isn't it?
Totally.
And, you know, now that you've obviously grown from, you know, the hundreds, presumably, that you started with as subscribers to millions now. Are you saying to me now that you still edit your own videos?
I still do. I still do. I still edit my own videos on my MacBook Pro. And also on my home PC.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, because they're beautiful, the videos, aren't they? They're really nicely put together.
I'm shocked.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
May I give you, as an OG, a little bit of advice, man? Pay someone else to do the editing. Bring someone else up in your image, because I know, and we know, don't we, from painful experience, just how labor-intensive that process is.
But I like that. I like this. It goes to show just how much into tech and your baby, effectively, that you are. You know, you must be to edit it. You're really into it.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. It's just something that I have had some help in previous like years. I've had people come in to help out a little bit. But I think the process is still something that I enjoy, like shooting it. And it's like your baby, which you're working from start to finish. So there's that sort of personal touch that you have to the final product, which
you see it come together.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's something that I still do. I'm sure like a lot of my friends keep kicking me and be like, all right, you need to get some editors in. And I have had a few, but it's also, I think YouTube videos are like a particular niche that you need somebody who can edit for YouTube tech videos.
Right.
So, I mean, editing for YouTube videos, I think, is one thing, but then editing a YouTube tech video is even more of a niche. So
absolutely. No, that's a good point.
So how do you think that differs then from, say, a feature that we would have done on The Gadget Show, which I think are comparable? So if we took a phone, we would make a 4 or 5 minute feature on the phone, all of its characteristics, all of its nuances. How does that differ from a YouTube video now?
I think so. What you guys had was amazing. You had the whole production, you had the team and everything. I think what we have right now is like for a lot of YouTubers, I mean, don't get me wrong, some like my friend Marquez, he has a whole team with him.
My friend Marquez.
Name dropping.
Incredible. Marquez Brownlee, you're referring to.
Marquez Brownlee, lovely guy. But yeah, he'll have a whole team with him. But I think this sort of the fun thing is just being able to run and gun, right? So I can quickly shoot something, you know, it doesn't have to be too much of a fancy edit, but say if I'm at an Apple event, for instance, I can turn around and put something live within a few hours. And that sort of, you know, when it comes to time-sensitive news, when it comes to tech, because people want things immediately, you know, the attention's, you know, people now don't have much of
an attention. And if you don't drop it, someone else is going to drop it. So
exactly. The competition and like to be, you know, to be early is so, so important. So you don't really have that time. Okay, I'm going to take this away. I'm going to work on it for a week and things like that. And certain videos you will do that, but there's others where you kind of like just run and gun, get it out as soon as possible.
Okay, so big question. When it comes to editing, what are we talking? Premiere or DaVinci Resolve?
Premiere.
My man. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because when you put so much time into a package and you grow up over a few years learning its nuances, it's hard to move to a different platform, even though DaVinci Resolve has a very loyal new following, doesn't it?
It does. But I think, like, you know, I'm not sponsored by Adobe in any way, but I think they've just got such an amazing package with Adobe Photoshop, After Effects, and Premiere, and they all work really well together.
Yeah.
Especially with some of the new AI tools. I mean, I absolutely love them. It is honestly game changer.
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are we a soon to be outmoded species, meaning live to camera presenters? Are we even necessary? What's your view on that?
I mean, this is something that's a really interesting topic that a lot of people are kind of discussing right now, because AI has gotten so good. I mean, in terms of, I pretty much use it on a daily basis now, like in Adobe Photoshop, there's generative fill, for example, which I'm sure you might have seen. I used to spend hours and hours, like, you know, kind of taking things out of the background and, like, you know, adding things. Now you can just do it and snap, like literally. If I want a new background, I can just say, you know, give me a brick wall with like some moody
palm
lighting
trees on it or something, yeah.
And within seconds, you've got that generated. And like before, you would have to go to a stock library, things like that. In terms of what we do, I think you need a lot of personality. And I think that's something that, at least yet, AI hasn't taken over.
What, trying to get a personality? Yeah. If you would, you know, could you try a bit harder? I've just noticed, because you were waving your hand around there, and we talked about wearable health tech on a previous podcast. That's the ultra human ring you're wearing, isn't it?
That is indeed, yeah. I've had it for a couple of months, and I think for myself, like, I have my Apple Watch Ultra, but when I'm sleeping, it's not something that's comfortable for me. I'm like here, there, and I can kind of feel it there, whereas having a ring is just so much easier, and it's not obtrusive at all.
Okay. Any good?
So,
just get a review from somebody else.
In terms of my personal testing, I mean, as I said, I love the form factor. The battery lasts for a good few days as well. In terms of step tracking and things like that, it's fine. When it comes to sleep tracking in particular, I'm not a huge fan. I'm somebody who sits in bed for like half an hour, 45 minutes before I go to sleep. I'm just on my phone and it thinks I'm sleeping.
It gets confused.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not sleeping. And then the other day I was watching a movie and then I got an alert on my phone saying we detected a short nap. And I was like, no, I was just sitting there watching a movie and I was fully awake. So,
you know what though? Because during a movie, both Jason and I would probably nap. Yeah. During the whole movie.
That's probably what it is.
In the course of the day.
Yeah. I've got another question for you. It's a bit gauche, but you know, we did say that you got a few million subscribers. How, and do you actively try to get subscribers? How do you get so many?
So I think for myself, there wasn't really like one moment or anything. I've just been uploading videos over 12 years, uploaded over 1,000 videos onto the main channel. So it's just been a gradual process covering technology, and if people like the content, they want to see more of it, I always do remind people to subscribe. I think what subscribers used to be on YouTube is quite different to now, because a lot of people don't come to you through the subscription feed. They come through from the home feed, seeing what's suggested to them. So it has changed, but yeah, if somebody does subscribe, it does like tell YouTube that, hey, they like these videos, to show them more. Mm. So I think for me, yeah, it has been a gradual process of trying lots
hard
of different
work, basically.
Yeah, hard graft.
So what,
and good content.
Yeah, good content. What have you bought for us today?
Yeah, we've got some toys. What have you got?
So I've got my smartphones. So the two that I use, because one of the most popular questions I get asked is iPhone or Android.
Because like, you are the king of phone reviews.
Oh, thank you. I wouldn't say the king, but thank you. I really appreciate that. I use both Samsung and Apple. So Android and Apple. I've got the iPhone 15 Pro Max, and I've got the Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. And those are my two go-tos. I usually have one and the other, because I think they're both absolutely great, and they both do really good things. Each has their advantages and disadvantages, so yeah.
Have you had any hairy moments? Because obviously you go to the launches, and there's that, as you described earlier, that rush to get your content loaded. So can you talk us through any situations that have maybe gone wrong or, you know, have caused you deep stress, or how have you managed to handle those situations with tech?
I mean, it's a very stressful time, and it's definitely not for the faint-hearted, because you are just constantly on it. So you're there trying to get as much information as possible, try to film as much, you can. I always say you can never have enough B-roll when you're putting together a video, so just try to capture as much as you can. You're pretty much fighting against people because there's so many people and you're just trying to get the shots that you can. Then you go over and try to find somewhat of a quiet place to film. And I think the funniest experience is when it's an Apple event, you have a lot of tech fans. So you're trying to film a video and there's people coming over to try to take a picture with you, which is always funny. And like, do you mind if I just finish this bit on my video? Because I've got a camera. I'm talking to the camera and people will just walk in not realizing. So that's always fun. I think a lot of times it's happened where I've potentially not switched on my mic. So, you film the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
And then you go and you're like, okay. Or there was some interference because I was using a wireless mic setup. And because there's 100 other people.
Frequencies.
Yeah, so the frequencies collided. So, that whole audio was just gone. So I'm like, all right, I need to find an even quieter place to go and shoot it. It's madness, but I love it. I mean, it's just amazing to actually be there and be able to see the tech firsthand.
I tell you what I love, and I've seen this most at the live esports events that I go to with my son.
With your son Jackson.
Yeah, who's been on the show. He's an esports player. And that is the IRL streamers, so in real life streamers. So they've got a small backpack. They've got some serious portable battery power. They've got some form of tiny portable computer. They've got a webcam or generally one of these cameras, microphone setup, some form of multiple signal 5G connectivity, a couple of SIM cards, and they stream. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep,
for
they do.
Hours. And this was a thing that I'd never even come into contact with. I now follow several of them on the platform Twitch. Is this something that you've ever done? Do you do live streams? And if so, how would you live stream from somewhere, like you say, Cupertino or wherever some major event is happening?
Now, with live streaming, it's something that I don't do too much. I've dabbled into a little bit. It's huge. And like, especially with TikTok,
mate,
there's a whole trend of like TikTokers who live stream like you know, like the old school QVC style. They're like just talking about products
TikTok
and you can
shop.
Buy them.
Yeah
TikTok shop. It's mad. And there was this one TikToker that I came across. She makes millions, but all she does is just show something for like 3 seconds, throws it on. She's just constant. Just here, this product, this is what it is, boom. And I was like, how is that working? Like, what is this? I was like, that is way too fast for me as well. Live streaming is a huge thing. I'm dabbling a little bit more into it. I don't think I have the type of energy that some of these you know, young creators have where they're just constantly streaming.
What about young
stuff?
I'm loving the live stream. You know what, I'll be honest, our simulcast on a Sunday night, I just do like a kind of 80s quiz type thing. But I live stream on 5 platforms simultaneously.
Wow.
Using Streamlabs Ultra, you know, the Streamlabs
yes.
platform.
Yeah.
And I do it just because because you kind of don't have to think about anything because chat comes straight back at you.
Yeah.
And people say the coolest stuff, right? They ask the best questions. They've always got the best ideas.
And they're giving you the content, aren't they?
They're giving you the content.
It's a very cool thing. I think it takes a lot of energy though, doesn't it? Like having all of that going. I've done some live streams like where we've been covering a few products and after the hour and a half of going through everything, I'm just like, all right, I need to breathe. But some of these guys, they literally do like 24-hour streams. It's mad, but it's a very interesting area and I think we'll be doing a lot more of it, all of us.
So what is next for SuperSaf then?
I kind of take things as they come. So, you know, whenever there's new tech, I try to cover it and bring it to my audience. I focus on smartphones, but doing lots of TVs, obviously laptops, cameras. So yeah, I think I'm just going to be carrying on doing my thing. It's been working for 12 years, so hopefully it'll carry on. Who knows for how long.
Can I ask you, do you think that the age of the smartphone is finally coming to an end with the rise of the, you know, albeit very expensive, niche, first, you know, output from Apple into the mixed reality, augmented reality, VR space?
So I think what's interesting is from everybody that I've spoken to who has used these, you know, mixed reality headsets or, you know, we have the AI pins, for example, they've all kind of been like, yeah, it doesn't replace the smartphone though. It's a nice addition, but I think we're still a bit of time off. I think the time when we have, you know, tech on our glasses, which is this small, because having the Vision Pro, amazing bit of tech, I can only use it for a couple of hours. And then I'm like, you know what, I just want to take it off and relax, right? Mm. When it gets to a point where we can just use it as you
wearable.
Would do. More wearable. Then I think things might start changing. But I think smartphones are still going to be sticking around for quite a while still.
I'm going to be in my little, you know, those chairs where you pull a handle and like they had in Friends and the bit comes out.
Lazy Boys.
Oh, Lazy Boy, yeah.
Yeah, when I'm about
90. We used to give one of those away every week on the Gadget Show Composition. I can't believe you didn't know the name of it.
All I was going to say is that when I'm 90, I'm going to be my Lazy Boy, totally immersed in VR. Yeah. I just have a nurse looking after my you know, my other needs. I don't mean that, Susie. I meant food. And
robot nurse,
just watching content. Robot nurse, I'm well up for that.
There
no problems. I can't wait to jack in. I'm gonna, you know what I mean? Not jack off. What are you like? Oh my god! And you, sorry about that. Sorry that you had to hear that, Saf. Now you know what it's like.
You can see, just needs no influencing.
Saf, you're an absolute superstar. Thank you for answering all of our questions.
Thank you for having me. I got a little gift for you guys. This is part of my setup as well, which are the sunglasses. Helps me read notes without having to look away. So
for
real?
So kind of you.
One for each of you. They're custom branded. So
thank you so much.
Gosh.
You're welcome. You can do an unboxing.
Oh, unboxing. Can we do an unboxing?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like it. How many unboxing things have you done? Quite a few.
But I don't think anyone cares.
No one cares.
What? Are we unboxing now?
Yeah, we're unboxing.
Live unboxing.
Hang on. ASMR.
So we're just opening these little boxes that look like, obviously, sunglass boxes that Saf's given us. Oh,
just adding the sound effects.
It's getting all of the sound
all
in there.
Beautifully wrapped up. Putting the glasses on.
Oh, there you go. Da, 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 da. Perfect.
Swish.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Thank you.
That's so thoughtful.
Super Susie here.
This should be a thing.
Look, a new character's been born.
But don't you think?
Super Susie.
All guests now
he
need to bring us a gift.
No,
I was trying to get us some free gear.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
That's a prerequisite now, whenever there's a guest. All right.
That's it. What did Otis bring us? Some cauliflower and a hot chocolate.
Exactly.
What a useless presenter he is.
Brilliant.
I never liked him.
Nah, he's not even funny, is he? It's not fit. It's not funny. Not knowledgeable.
Saf, you're a superstar, man.
Thank you. Thank you, so much for having me. It's been great, Jen.
And listen, thank you for your time. Thank you. I've loved that. It's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Super Saf, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it for another episode.
That's right, and there'll be another episode, don't you worry, coming along same time next week on the YouTube, as my mom would say.
On the YouTube?
Yeah, Spotify or iTunes.
On the iTunes.
And yeah, and goodness knows where else.
And you can ask Alexa.
Can you?
Play God Gadget Show podcast.
Let's do it, because it'll make people's Alexa do it.
Alexa, please play the Gadget Show podcast. If you are watching or listening to this for free and want to watch or listen to the next episode right away, and you want to give us a little bit of love and support in making future episodes, then please become one of our patrons.
That's right. And to do that, you need to go to our Patreon page. You'll find links on our website and all over our social media. Then you can subscribe to whichever tier suits your needs. And each tier comes with some saucy stuff, options.
Absolutely, yeah. You'll get early access to future episodes, outtakes, bloopers, extras, all of that kind of thing.
And join at the max tier, and you get to come with me and Susie on holiday.
We're going on holiday?
No, I'm just making that up. But maybe we could. But what you do, maybe in a future
episode. Can we have separate rooms?
I think that's a given. Yeah. Who said that we're in a room? I thought we could go in the camper van.
Yeah, okay. Well, I once shared a tent with John Bentley.
And if you choose the max tier, you get to share a caravan with me, Susie, and John Bentley.
And Otis Dealey. We'll throw him in for free.
We're going to Port Miriam in Wales, where they film The Prisoner. And it says here, free sandwiches. Come on.
Yes, what's not to love?
Oh.
The camper van gang.
No expense spared.
Oh, I love that. Get in touch and tell us also what gadget trends and areas you want us to cover on this podcast.
Yeah, and also we're loving having the guests, aren't we?
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And and we've had our first YouTuber today, so we're broadening the the range of people that we invite on the show.
I'm going to plan the trip. The camper van trip.
Look, tell you what. I'll plan it. You guys get back to your lives, please, while she plans the trip.
Top tier, come with us on the trip. I'm really good at planning holiday trips. Honestly, that's what I should do. That is what I should do in life.
What are you talking about?
No, but I'm great at doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, you do that.
I'm gonna do it.
So we're going, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, great. So that's the max tier. Patreon page is in the links.
Yeah.
Bye. See you next week.
See you. Well, we might be busy, but if we're not, we'll do a podcast.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.